We'll be turning first to Leviticus, and then our text will actually be from Luke chapter 5. Now, I see that I gave Jonathan quite a few texts, and on thinking about it more as the week got on, I decided, you know, we don't need to read quite so many. And so I'd like to just take off when we get to Leviticus 14, 1 to 20. We'll just avoid and not get into it. It's relevant, it ties in, but it's not necessarily necessary for us to jump into that this afternoon. So we'll start Leviticus chapter 13, and then we'll read there the portions you find in your bulletin, and then we'll make our way into the New Testament to Luke chapter 5. Why are we here in Leviticus? Because I'll just tell you, Luke 5, the text we'll be looking at, is dealing with a leper. And so what was life like for a leper? What did it mean for them to receive this diagnosis? And so that's what we want to see as we turn in Leviticus 13. And so we'll read God's word together now. I'll read to you. The Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, saying, "When a person has on the skin of his body a swelling or an eruption or a spot, and it turns into a case of leprous disease on the skin of his body, then he shall be brought to Aaron the priest, or to one of his sons, the priests, and the priest shall examine the diseased area on the skin of his body. And if the hair in the diseased area has turned white, and the disease appears to be deeper than the skin of his body, it is a case of leprous disease. When the priest has examined him, he shall pronounce him unclean. But if the spot is white in the skin of his body and appears no deeper than the skin, and the hair in it has not turned white, the priest shall shut up the diseased person for 7 days. And the priest shall examine him on the seventh day. And if, in his eyes, the disease is checked, and the disease has not spread in the skin, then the priest shall shut him up for another 7 days. And the priest shall examine him again on the seventh day. And if the diseased area has faded, and the disease has not spread in the skin, then the priest shall pronounce him clean. It's only an eruption, and he shall wash his clothes and be clean. But if the eruption spreads in the skin, after he has shown himself to the priest for his cleansing, he shall appear again before the priest. And the priest shall look, and if the eruption has spread in the skin, then the priest shall pronounce him unclean. It is a leprous disease." Then we'll turn forward to verses 45, 46. What would it mean for these individuals? It says, "The leprous person who has the disease shall wear torn clothes and let the hair of his head hang loose. And he shall cover his upper lip and cry out, 'Unclean, unclean.' He shall remain unclean as long as he has the disease. He is unclean. He shall live alone. His dwelling shall be outside the camp." And then we'll move into the New Testament to Luke chapter 5. So Luke chapter 5, we'll be looking at our text in verses 12 through 16. Luke 5, beginning at verse 12. "While he was in one of the cities, there came a man full of leprosy. And when he saw Jesus, he fell on his face and begged him, 'Lord, if you will, you can make me clean.' And Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him, saying, 'I will, be clean.' And immediately the leprosy left him. And he charged him to tell no one, but go and show yourself to the priest and make an offering for your cleansing, as Moses commanded, for a proof to them. But now even more, the report about him went abroad, and great crowds gathered to hear him and to be healed of their infirmities. But he would withdraw to desolate places and pray." That is our text. Keep your Bibles open if you haven't closed them. If you have closed them, open them up again. We'll work through this text together. The sermon's entitled "A Leper's Plea." a leper's plea. Now, I think some of you here will be familiar with the hymn, Come Ye Sinners, Poor and Wretched. It's hymn 440 in your hymnals. We're going to sing it later. It was originally written back in 1759 by a man named Joseph Hart. And I barely need to say it, it isn't anywhere near the top 10 charting songs of 2025, whether you're secular or a Christian. And that doesn't surprise us one bit at all. But as I was thinking about the lyrics there, it matches our text here in Luke 5 very, very well. The first verse, it goes like this, Come ye sinners, poor and wretched, weak and wounded, sick and sore. Jesus ready stands to save you, full of pity, joined with power. He is able, he is able, he is able, he is willing. Doubt no more. He is willing, doubt no more. And as we move through this passage, we see a sinner. We see an outcast, poor leper come to Jesus. And we find in Jesus the one who is just that, full of pity, joined with power. Jesus has the ability to meet this man in his need. And in his compassion and in his pity, we find also his willingness. Jesus is like that. We today, we have a Savior who is full of compassion, a Savior who is willing and able to come to the aid of sinners. And so we'll see three points in this sermon this afternoon. First, we'll see the desperate plea, the desperate plea. You find that in verse 12. And secondly, the profound response, the profound response, verse 13. And then third, in our final point, we'll see the mixed outcome, verses 14 to 16. Now, I know some of you are taking notes, so I'll just very briefly, first, we have the desperate plea. Secondly, the profound response. And then third, we have the mixed outcome. And we start, if you have your Bibles open, we start at verse 12. And Luke starts us off in a vague location. Jesus is going around, he's preaching, and he's teaching the arrival of the kingdom through him all across Galilee. Now, which city isn't the chief concern here, but the fact that this event takes place in a city is significant. Well, why? Because of this poor and this wretched individual that we meet next. It says, there came a man full of leprosy. And so to understand the significance of this event, we need to understand some of the Jewish Old Testament law regarding lepers. And that's why we want to read Leviticus 13. There we were given a detailed account of what would happen to someone who came down with this terrible disease of leprosy. Now, leprosy in the Old Testament was not limited to what we today would call Hansen's disease, but instead it was more like a category for many different kinds of skin diseases. Leviticus 13, verse 2, it reads like this, when a person has on the skin of his body a swelling or an eruption or a spot, and it turns into a case of leprous disease. That is, if it begins to spread, it goes all over their body. Well, what happens then? This poor, likely terrified individual, they would have to go to the priest. And there the priest would examine that person, and they would give them their verdict. Sometimes, as we read, the skin disease, it would prove to be a false alarm. The person would fully recover. They could go back home. They could go on with their life. But at other times, skin disease would progress. It would spread. And if this occurred, the priest would then declare that diagnosis that would have been a horror for any Israelite to receive. Leprous. You are leprous. Here we have a man who is full of leprosy. Well, what would it mean? It would mean instant life change, and not in a pleasant way. This skin disease would be considered infectious. Quarantine would begin immediately. Leviticus 13, 45 and 46, which you read, they describe what would follow. It says, the leprous person who has the disease shall wear torn clothes. We don't do this today. If you think about it, it's instantly they have to go out. They have to tear their clothes. They have to let the hair of their head hang loose. You're not cleaning yourself up anymore. He shall cover his upper lip and cry out, unclean, unclean. He shall remain unclean as long as he has the disease. He is unclean. He shall live alone. His dwelling place shall be outside the camp. I think it's helpful if we try to relate to this poor man that we find in our text in front of us. This was a real man. This was a true story of human suffering and true human need. There was a day when this man had a very normal life. Maybe a normal life just like you have. Then he would have seen a spot. Then he would have seen that it began to spread. In fear, he would have had to go to the priest. With sorrow, he would have received his diagnosis. And immediately, leaving friends and family behind, he would have had to move outside of the city. He would have to live off of scraps of charity that others would leave for him. And years would pass. As time went on, the disease would spread. He could never touch anyone. And no one could ever touch him. What we see described here is a state of mourning. The torn clothes, the loose hair, the crying out. To be a leper was essentially a living death. You're alive, but you're dead. Dead in a sense to society. You are dying. A social outcast. You're a religious outcast. You had the discomfort of the disease itself. You're alive, but you're banished off to quarantine. You have to live by yourself outside of the city. Can we pity this man? He is full of leprosy. This wasn't weak one for him. What if this was your child? What if this man was your father? What if this was you? We see he is far gone. He isn't technically even allowed in the city, but here he is. Why? Well, there's one reason. One reason. He's here to find Jesus. He's heard of Jesus. He's here to find Jesus. Here's a man that society turns away from in fear. He's infectious. He's untouchable. He's unclean. He walks into the city, perhaps covering his mouth the whole time, crying out, "Unclean, unclean." He enters the city. He has one destination in mind. I must be where Jesus is. And we see it's not a lot of text to work off of, but we see that he throws himself down in front of our Lord. He falls on his face in front of him and he begs, "Lord, if you will, you can make me clean." Can you imagine? You know, the horror and the repulsion of the onlookers. And yet the deep humility and the faith of this living dead man. He casts himself, hopeless in himself, in front of Jesus. Here is his only hope. No one else can help him. But will Jesus? And we see his words, they're a confession of his faith. He says, "If you are willing, I know that you can. If you're willing, I know that you can." Friends, as we think of the outcasts in our society, we should be so careful that we don't begin drawing lines in the sand. Think back to COVID days, drawing your 6-foot bubble all around yourself. There are many who are spiritually bleeding out, who desperately need to be brought to Jesus. Ultimately, only Jesus can help. But it isn't only an out there thing. This man's desperate need, it's not all that different from our own. We may not have spots on our skin, but do we have spots on our souls? Do we have a different kind of need? Could it be that even more than the leper needed that leprosy gone, we need the cleansing, the forgiveness of Christ? We want to realize this man covered in leprosy, he is a perfect picture of what we are like in our sin as we approach Jesus. As we come before our King, we cast ourselves before him. There's no room for pride. All of our pride, it should just fade away. Like the leper in our sin, if we were to stand before Jesus, we would deserve to have him say, "Unclean, unfit, untouchable." That's what we look like on the inside in our sin. That would be our justified diagnosis. What do? Like this man, we fall in humility on our face before Jesus. Our prayer should be, Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. Prayer of faith. As we come to Jesus, here's the only one who can deal with our sin. Now, we do need to be careful. This man's uncleanness, it's not the same thing as sin. It's an effect of sin. It's an effect from the fall. But it's such a fitting picture for sin. Sin in all of its vileness. Sin that separates. Sin that breaks apart relationships. You know that in your lives. Sin, whispered, things said, things not true. Things that drive apart co-workers. That can be true of friends. It can be true even in marriages. But most of all, sin, it's true as we think of ourselves before a holy God. If we think back to the Garden of Eden, you can see what happened there, that there's a driving out. They can't be in the presence of God. You think in the days of Noah, the Lord cleanses the world because of the sin that was everywhere, sin that destroys, sin that drives this chasm between a holy God and a sinful man. As we stand here, we can't bridge it. The leper can't cleanse himself. It's something that only Jesus could do. So we come with a desperate plea, but we come to an able Savior. Well, here this man, he has evidently heard that Jesus can heal. He knows Jesus is able to do this. He comes tattered, he comes unkempt, he falls in humility before our Savior. Here's the only one who can help him. The only one on the face of the earth who could heal him. And we see in this man extreme need. And we see in ourselves, when we see ourselves truly, that we also have extreme need. It reminds me of a line from the hymn Rock of Ages. The one line, it reads, cleanse me, Savior, or what? Cleanse me, Savior, or I die. Or I die. To remain in our sin is not a light thing. To remain in our sin is to be living a living death. Here the leper, he's voiced his faith. Jesus can. The leper couldn't. His family couldn't. No one else could help him. But Jesus can. So the question becomes, is Jesus willing? This man, he's on his face. He's on the ground. He's full of leprosy. Is Jesus willing? Well, that brings us to our second point, the profound response. Maybe it's helpful if we put ourselves in that crowd. You could watch all of it unfold. It's shocking. It isn't done. This man technically shouldn't even be here. And yet, here he is. Maybe there's this uncomfortable murmur. This man is clearly desperate. Everyone can see it, but what will be the response of Jesus? Will he say, back? How dare you come here? You know the rules. You shouldn't even be here. You know, give me my 6 feet, no closer. Don't infect me. No. No, Jesus isn't like that. The Gospel of Luke, it's beautiful in how it shows us over and over again that our Savior is astonishingly compassionate. When people come to him in humility, when they come to him recognizing their need, Jesus is so quick to offer them his aid. Christians, we can't afford to forget this. Our sin, it would try and cast doubt on the goodness and the compassion of Jesus. Our sin, unlike leprosy, it can try to hide. It isn't as obvious to everyone. You're not running around with your hand over your mouth saying, I'm a sinner, I'm a sinner. It's not as obvious. Well, is there hope for those who humbly seek Christ? The answer is always. When doubt arises, let this example just be one of many that silences the doubt. Jesus is not heartless. He's not unmoved by our suffering and our need. In the parallel account in Luke, we hear Jesus was moved with pity. It's the inner workings of who he is. It's not unnatural to him. But we see that Jesus' response in his culture is profound. Here, the undefiled, the perfectly holy Savior shows his compassion. This man, he had cried out from his face, Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. make me clean. Well, what did he mean by clean? I think it might help us if we just take a moment. It'd be easy for us to misunderstand. He's a leper. He has a skin disease. What does that have to do with being clean? Well, today when we think of clean, we often think of something that's not dirty. You know, clean clothes, they're clothes that we've put through the wash machine and put through the dryer. They are now clean. They're washed. But when the leper begs Jesus to make him clean, he's asking for so much more than a wash. He wasn't dirty with mud or anything like that. He's speaking of a reality beyond his physical disease. At its heart, in the Old Testament, there's an essential connection between purity or cleanness and a fitness to come before an infinitely holy God in worship. To be a leper then had spiritual implications as well. A leper would be considered ritually unclean. If you think about it just for a moment, if they're not even allowed to enter into the city for fear of them getting contamination to others, then think of how far away they would have been kept from the synagogue or from the tabernacle or from the temple. Now, we don't think about it much today, but this was such a huge factor for the Jews. It was part of their everyday life, clean and unclean. It wasn't limited to their physical state of a person here, like a leper, but it also included different kinds of animals. Some of them were, by their very nature, unclean. It was seen in what the Israelites ate. It was seen also in the different bodily activities that they could do. And uncleanness, it was seen as contagious. If you think of COVID-19, if you had the virus, you had to stay home. If you had leprosy, you had to stay outside the city. And normally, if someone touched an unclean person or an unclean thing, you could even just touch something that someone unclean had sat on, you would become contaminated. You would become unclean. Now, some types of uncleanness, they would only last for a day. Some lasted for a week, if you touched a dead body, for example. And then some of them lasted indefinitely, like in the case of this leper. Well, someone was in that state of unclean. They could not come into the tabernacle. They couldn't come into the temple where the holiest things were. They were excluded. And so if we think about it, here in this story, we have the coming together of both extreme ends of the spectrum. You have unclean permanently and perfectly holy in Christ, full of leprosy, coming to Jesus, whose holiness actually surpassed the Holy of Holies in the temple. Both extreme ends. It couldn't get further apart. Now, this unclean man, he comes in faith and he comes in humility and he falls on his face. He falls down unclean and unable. And that desperate plea is made, and Jesus' response is profound. Jesus reaches out his hand, not as a barrier to keep him back. He reaches out and he touches. Normally, if you sit on something that someone unclean has touched, you become unclean. Jesus touches him. How much would have been conveyed in that touch? Maybe it had been years since anyone had touched him. You can imagine a gasp from the crowd, maybe even from the man. Who would dare to even do this? Would the holy be defiled? And for all of Old Testament history, the answer would have been yes, but not here. Why? Because of who Jesus is. In his commentary on the Gospels, John Calvin, he gets somewhat lost in the wonder of this moment for the man himself and for the implications it has for us. And so I want to quote him at a little bit of length. I'm not going to read the quote twice because it is a bit long. So follow as you can. This is what Calvin says. He says, "Under the law, the touch of a leper was infectious. But as Christ possesses such purity as to repel all filth and defilement, he does not by touching either pollute himself with leprosy or become a transgressor of the law. When he took upon him our flesh. He did not only deign to touch us with his hand, but was united to one in the same body with ourselves, that we might be flesh of his flesh. Nor did he only stretch out his arm to us, but descended from heaven even to hell, and yet contracted no stain from it, but retaining his innocence, took away all our impurities and sprinkled us with his holiness. By his word alone, he might have healed the leper, but he applied at the same time the touch of his hand to express the feeling of compassion. Nor ought this to excite our wonder, since he chose to take upon him our flesh, that he might cleanse us from our sins. The stretching out of his hand was therefore an expression and token of infinite grace and goodness. What we indolently read and coldly pass by cannot be duly weighed without great astonishment. The Son of God was so far from disdaining to talk to a leper that he even stretched out his hand to touch that uncleanness. That might be one of the longest quotes I have ever put in a sermon, but it's so loaded with the awe that is being shown here, what Christ has done. That is who our Savior is. This is his compassion. It's not foreign to him. This is the heart that he has, not just reaching out a hand to touch a leper, profound in itself, but more than that, taking on your flesh to die in your place. Now, regardless of your past, regardless of your present, regardless of how filthy you may feel, when you come humbly and with a sincere plea for forgiveness, Jesus does not flinch back from you in disgust. See, the profound thing here, he came for sinners. He came for people like this leper. He came for people like us. The Savior who could heal with just a word does so much more than heal with just a word. Jesus reaches out his hand and he touches this man filled with leprosy. This untouched and this untouchable man feels the loving hand of compassion rest on him, even on those leprous sores. Here is God, who took on human flesh to seek and to save sinners, the one who is perfectly holy. We're both ends of the spectrum. But our Savior, as he comes to this earth, he doesn't come wearing a hazmat suit. He's not reaching out and touching people with a pole. He comes and he touches his people. He knows, he bears our infirmities. It's profound. We see what happens. Jesus touches him and he gives the answer for which this man has begged. Jesus says, "I will be clean." The man had begged for what God alone could do. And Jesus, in response, gives what God alone could give. And rather than Jesus being defiled, it's the leper who is made clean. Holiness flows into the unclean. The leprosy immediately disappears. It's fully in a moment. Are we surprised? May God keep us from having a too small view of our Savior. We have a Savior who not only saves, but he even gives us his own righteousness, gives us his holiness. How can we stand before God? Because we have a Savior who has done everything. You see, our Savior, he's able. The joy of our hearts is the fact that he is willing. Can you imagine a Savior who said, "I am able to do this, but I will not"? That's not your Savior. You have a Savior who is able and who is willing. Well, what follows, we'll consider that in our third point, the mixed outcome. For this man who was previously a leper, Jesus gives him instruction on how he is to now proceed. First, Jesus charges him to tell no one. Rather, he's to go and show himself to the priest and to make an offering for his cleansing. If you want all of those details, read that section I put in our bulletins from Leviticus 14. You can see what was all entailed in that. What we see here, he can't simply run off home. In other places in the Gospels, Jesus heals someone and he says, "Go home. You know, the man who's let down through the roof, pick up your mat, go home. This is done." but this leprous man, not so. This man, he's as clean as can be, and yet Jesus sends him to the priests first. That's what has been prescribed in Leviticus 14. Why does Jesus send him there? Well, there are multiple reasons. At this time, the ceremonial law, it was still in effect, and Jesus does not despise it, but he upholds it. In time, he would fulfill it. Jesus, he cares for this man so much more than just on a skin-deep level. The purpose of Moses' command, which he received from the Lord in Leviticus 14, it wasn't just mindless ritual. In Leviticus 14, God revealed that any healing was to be recognized as a gift of God's grace. The priests, they would examine the person, and then there would be offerings of thanks and of atonement. Only then could that leper enter society again. Well, this then would be proof to the priest as well as to the man. God had given healing. How else could this ever be explained? Here was this man full of leprosy, a man who was still wearing tattered clothes, he had unkempt hair, a man who's known to be a leper, and he's healed. Not just a marginal, hey, can you please look and see if this is cleared up a little bit? It's gone. Leprosy fully removed. Total removal. And isn't that a picture of how complete and total Jesus' forgiveness of our sins is as well? There are so many parallels. This man, he was taken from a living death to fullness of life. In our sin, we're taken from a living death to a fullness of life. How? Well, it's Jesus alone who has done this. Only he can, and we see that he is willing. The priest, the leper comes to them, they could have never healed. They could only pronounce. They could only say what they saw. But here this man would be a proof to the priest that God has done this, that Jesus has done this, what God alone could do. They would examine, they would see the evidence, and they should have known the Savior had come. Well, we're told even more that the report about Jesus went abroad. Great crowds, they gathered. These are certainly mixed crowds. Some of them come to hear him, and others come to be healed by him. The crowds, they're swelling around him. There's excitement, there's curiosity. But then in verse 16, we have this fascinating reversal. Is it what we would expect? We see here, but he would withdraw to desolate places and pray. He leaves the busy crowds and he takes time to pray. Doesn't mean he didn't care for them. We've already seen that he does. Jesus clearly did spend time with the people. He did teach them. He did heal them. But then he would go off to be alone and he would pray. It's not an insignificant little add-on. Luke's going to bring us back here over and over again. Jesus prayed. It's part of the heart of the Christian life. You can be busy with a million good things, but Christian, do you pray? Well, as we conclude, we see that so many were seeking him. But would they believe in him? That's the question that carries, isn't it? Jesus was leaving proof everywhere he went that he is the Messiah, that he is the Savior, that he can do what God alone can do. Luke wrote this gospel so that we can know for sure that Jesus is the Christ. And here in this brief encounter, we're given one more sample for the evidence drawer of our faith. It's a sample that shows us that Jesus was not only able, but that he was willing. This is the heart of your Savior today as well. We have a Savior who is full of pity, joined with power. Jesus, the same yesterday, today, and forever. We have so many reasons to rejoice as we come to Jesus. You can come, you can lay all of your need before him, your fears, your sin, your anxiety, everything. And you can cry out like the leper, Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. But you know, you can go even further than the leper because you know Jesus' answer, I will be clean. Maybe you're here this afternoon and you wonder how Jesus would receive you. Maybe you fear that he would be alarmed at your sin, maybe shocked by your sin. Maybe you fear that he would hold out an arm and say, come no further, not you. Well, look once more at this passage and take it seriously and take heart. If you come like this leper, full of need, yes, but humbly and with a plea and a faith that Jesus alone can deal with this hurt, this sin, this sorrow, you can be assured. The Son of Man came into the world to seek and to save such as us. If you come in humility, he will not turn you away. Day by day, as you come to Jesus, humbly lay everything before him. He is able, he is willing. And so I invite you all to come. Come to Jesus. Come, ye sinners, poor and wretched, weak and wounded, sick and sore. Jesus, ready, stands to save you, full of pity, joined with power. He is able, he is able, he is able, he is willing, doubt no more. He is willing, doubt no more. Amen. Let us pray. Our glorious Father, help us to take what we have here to heart. You show us the heart of our Savior. No reluctance whatsoever to reach into the greatest mess that the Israelites could have imagined, to place his hand onto the very heart of uncleanness. And just so, Lord Jesus, as you look on us, you are not fooled by our attempts to clean ourselves up. You see us through and through. And so we come with our need, but we want to come humbly. We want to be cleansed by you. There's nowhere else that we could go, and we praise you that we find that not only are you able, but you are willing. What comfort you've given, what joy is ours, what assurance we have. Your promises, they are true. They are yes, they are amen through Jesus Christ. Oh Lord, we come then through our Savior. We plead his blood, his righteousness, his holiness. We have no other plea. And so we come, Lord Jesus, in your name.